Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday and Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. God bless you, one and all. Someone asked, what's the last line of that song? He said, he'd even go the way of Calvary. And he did, didn't he? He did. He showed us what faith can do, didn't he? And it's the same faith that he used to go to Calvary that he offers to us. We need to take advantage of that offering, amen? You know, financial advisors will call you on the phone and tell you about an offering, and this is coming, and that's coming, and you ponder, and you go left and right, and then you waver, and you can't make up your mind, and you're trying to think. But you don't have to think much about this if you know anything about Jesus. This is an offer you can't afford to pass up. Amen? Think about it. We don't have a big, fat, ugly statue over in China somewhere that fits from there to there, and people have to walk up millions of steps, look like, to bow down in front of it. Some dumb statue that can't even talk. It can't see, it can't talk, and it can't hear. You can't say to that statue, my mom is in the hospital, can you fix that? It won't work. It's just a dumb statue. We don't have a dumb statue. We don't even have a statue. We have the real God, the real deal. He's alive. He didn't just die on the cross. He got right back up. So what does that say to us? That for every death in our life, there is a resurrection. I remember when my mother passed. It was this weekend. It was just before Resurrection Sunday. And so when I told my cousin when we were going to have the funeral services, she said, you mean to tell me you're going to have it on Good Saturday? I said, yes, this is the only holiday that offers a resurrection. This is the only time we can do this. Because she's got to get back up. We put her body down in the ground. I was standing right there as they lowered the casket all the way down to the bottom. I was standing there and told them to start putting the dirt on top of it. I know where her body is. It's out there on Main Street. But I also know where the rest of her is, flying around having a great time in that cloud of witnesses, dipping into my business. That's exactly where she is. And she and Pastor Pat have these conversations about me. And they tell Jesus things. And they don't invite me to the conversation. But they love me. Amen. They love me. It's good to be loved. Amen. And Jesus loved us so much that when we were being nasty in sin, all the ugly things we were ever going to do, he looked right past it, and he saw what we were going to become. That takes faith. Amen? That takes faith. So welcome to our celebration of Jesus Christ and his faith in his heavenly Father, in the Word. Amen? There's no faith like this faith that we have in him. Don't ever let go of your faith. It's essential for living. It's more important than breathing. You see, when you stop breathing, you're going to still need faith. You're going to have faith to do what you do every time you go to sleep, that you go to sleep and you wake up again. You're going to need faith that when you lay down in this last sleep down here, that you're going to wake up at home. That takes faith. Amen? So don't let go of your faith, no matter what happens. And when you go to sleep at night, say, Lord, I have faith that I'll wake up in the morning in you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian church. We belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. We belong to him. We have an internet church and a local church assembly. Amen. And we're all together as one today in the power of the Lord. Amen. God loves us and we love him. And we can tell that he loves us every single day. Amen. Amen. If you are new, we encourage you, if you would like to celebrate Holy Communion with us today, to get your elements together. And at some point during the service, we will celebrate his Holy Communion, the Last Supper that he gave us. We're going to enjoy his presence. Amen. I know that there are people who have cooked their hams and their lambs and their whatever else they cooked for today. You got a spread plan. And this one's coming over and that one's coming over, and you've got a lot to do. But right now, the most important person is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We know the neighbors are hopping down the street chasing a bunny and trying to find colored eggs under some tree, some hedge, or somewhere in the grass. But all of that is passed away for us. For us, this is not about that. This is about Jesus Christ and his love for us and how far that love took him. Amen? Amen. So, we just want to thank the Lord for waking us up today and getting us in our right minds as much as possible and dress and to church. Amen? And although some of you are sitting there with a cup of coffee and in your jammies, we receive you just like you are. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to begin in prayer like we always do. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, we will think on these things. Because, Father, the eyes of all of us wait upon you. We know that you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing, and that you are close to us when we call on you. We thank you for the blood that washes our sins away. We thank you for the wall of fire that protects us. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for your very glory in the midst, in your presence right here while we're worshiping you today. You are right here with us. We thank you and we honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to hear your loving kindness in the morning because we have decided to trust you. You're going to show us the way where we should walk as we lift our souls up to you. You're going to see to it that when we go to sleep, we arrive at home. Amen? We ask that you teach us to do your will. We ask that you lead us into the land of uprightness. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, all demonic agents, and all of his underlings. And we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ, and we come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. And we bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting demons, all watchers and peeps and whisperers, all familiar demons, all technology demons and their attacks, all Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean devils, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing devils, womanizing devils, drone spirits, whoredom spirits, and all the voices of the stranger and their attacks. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we forbid them to attack us and our loved ones in Jesus' name. We bind the hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, and all mystic rituals and their intents, and overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic, Egyptian arts, Chaldean magic, Hindu, Indian, and African witchcraft practices in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, and we bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind every familiar spirit in Jesus' name. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them all under the feet of Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse demons. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral projection, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind all spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry, and we bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, all combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. You are bound in Jesus' name. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, and 72, Neptune, Python, Basilic, and Moloch, and we chain them with eternal chains unto darkness. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We forgive everyone who has ever sinned against us or against our family member in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans, and we bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and their fear, harassments, witchcraft, back on their own heads as well as their mind control. In Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth and lead us into the truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. And, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. And every care that we have, we hand over to God the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack that we have received over the last 3 months, we hand it to the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Every single attack right now, we hand it to him in Jesus' name. And we thank you for a godly outcome, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, sorcerer, shaman, and the like. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, fetish, all psychic prayers, thoughts, voodoo, magic, sorcery, brain frequency, meditations, jinxes, potions, and everything the devil tried to do. All the water weight he put on people, we bind in Jesus' name. Every attack on our health, attack on our eyes, attacks on our bodies, attacks on our emotions, attacks on our spirit, attacks on our minds, we bind in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we have been delivered. We have been delivered, and we are free in Jesus' name. We are free in the name of Jesus. So, Satan, here is all your evil. Here is all your witchcraft coming back at you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Father, we pray for persons who have lost their faith in Jesus Christ, that they would be restored to him in Jesus' name. We pray for those who were trusting the Lord in a situation that did not work out in their favor, or so it appears. We pray for those who gave up because the battle was just too long for them. We pray for those who through ignorance have become captives of the enemy. We pray for those who would have gone further in the Lord, but their spouse got in the way. We pray for people who love the Lord but hate their lives as they are presently. We pray for those who continually serve in God's house, but their hearts are broken. Father, we lift them all to you today in the name of Jesus, and we ask that the Comforter comfort them, that you minister to them, Lord, that you touch them, that you reach them right where you are, right where they are. And we ask, Lord, that you not give up, that you not stop, no matter how many times they walk away, no matter how many times they shake their hands and throw their hands up in the air. Give them the hope that faith in the word of God brings, Father. Give them hope. Give them hope in you. Amen? Amen. And we thank you and we give you praise for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are times when we all need renewed hope. We all do, you see. We're all human. And humans need help all the time. All the time. Because humans are still weak. We're strong in the Lord, but on our own, we're just us. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. God made us this way. He made us to need him. And so he's not bothered by our requests and by our needs. He just wants us to trust him. Amen? He just wants us to trust him. He wants us to give him our all. And that's important. So today, we're going to talk about this, the word in my heart. Repeat after me, the word in my heart. Amen. That's important, the word in my heart. Not my neighbor's heart, my heart. Not my spouse's heart, my heart. The word in my heart. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it reads the following. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means before, were written for our learning. They're to help us learn. Amen? That we, through patience, say patience, and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. So the scriptures teach us patience, and they give us comfort so that we'll have hope for a better end. We'll have hope in the Lord. Amen? No matter what has already happened, God will give us hope. You see, the disciples were there at the foot of the cross that day, and they saw their hero, the one they believed was the Messiah. They just knew it by then. They saw him beat, battered, bruised, and broken. That was hard to take. That was very hard to take. They were crushed. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing. They'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen him raise people from the dead. And now, this, it was hard to take. It was hard to believe that it was really happening. It was like a bad movie in slow motion. And it wouldn't stop. They watched him carry a cross. And somewhere in their minds, they thought, this is going to stop in a minute. This is going to stop. They're not actually going to crucify him. This is going to change. This is just bad right now. But it's going to stop. It's actually going to stop. He's actually not going to die on a cross today. I just know that that's not going to happen. But the bad movie kept going. And it didn't stop. And he went from carrying the cross and to being nailed on the cross. And they watched him put them long nails in his hands and in his feet. And they watched them raise that cross with him on it between two bad people. And they were shocked beyond words. They couldn't believe what they were seeing and experiencing. It was like agony driving through them, and they just couldn't stop. And then they watched it go on and on and on and on. They watched every single moment of it. They watched the piercing of his side. They watched him hang his head. And then they didn't know what to say. They ran. It was so horrible that they ran in panic, not knowing why they were really running. It was hard to take watching him die on the cross. The earthquake came, and everybody ran for cover. But it says that through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. You see, most of them, correction, all of them, they lost their hope that day. And it happens to us too sometimes. Life gets hard. And sometimes horrible things happen. And we let go of our hope. We don't intend to do it. It just seems to happen. And we don't seem to be able to stop it at that moment. We want to give up completely. But somewhere deep inside every believer, there's a spirit that says, he's still here. He's still here. He's still here. Sometimes we listen, and sometimes we don't. In Psalm 119, verse 114, the psalmist says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. You're the place where I run to when life gets this awful. You stand before me to shield me from what is more than I can handle. And because you are my hiding place and my shield, I decide to hope in your word. I don't have the emotions for it at the moment. My mind can't take it in. But I use my will, and I choose to hope in your word. You see, there comes a time when life is so traumatic that all you can use is your will. The rest of you can't even respond. It's numb, just like the disciples were. They were numb with pain. They went through the most horrible thing they had ever experienced in their lives. In Psalm 27, beginning with verse 13, I had fainted. I had fainted. I had about giving up unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have dropped out of this altogether. But I still believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, wait on the Lord. When the difficult comes, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. He will strengthen your heart that's fainting and failing. He'll come to strengthen your heart. So wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. It's too much at that moment. You're overwhelmed. You're overcome. Wait. He's coming. He's coming to strengthen your heart. You see, life can be challenging even when outward circumstances are positive and are on an even keel. When things are going well for us and no imminent danger or evil or misfortune is breathing down our necks, life is still challenging. Challenges call for special attention and effort on our part. A demand of some type is placed at our door, and we are compelled to answer. Some challenges are more taxing than others. They seem to require more of us than we desire to give. As we search for an answer or a solution, we find that an urgency begins to surface. We have been placed into a compelling situation. You see, that's where the disciples found themselves. They had a challenge. They had a compelling situation. They couldn't believe that what had just happened actually took place. But they couldn't change it either. They were right there in the midst of the whole thing. And they had a challenge before them. What now? What now that this has happened? Some of us have some what now that this has happened. What now? Well, our soul is searching in our waking moments, and even as we rest. We question others. We question ourselves. We even question the Lord. As we seek for answers, our minds are on a quest for past situations that might lead to an answer in the present dilemma. We toss and turn. We search and question. We cry out for help, but the solution still evades us. As the time for resolution draws near, we get desperate. So desperate, in fact, that we are tempted to become anxious, restless, fearful, irritable, even short-tempered, and downright cranky. That irritation drives us. The oyster would warn us that it's all a part of the process. But would we listen? I don't think so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Have you ever not wanted your way of escape? Have you ever just wanted to say, "I don't want to be bothered with that no more. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to be bothered with it. I want to forget it ever happened. I want to forget the whole thing." Now, why isn't that way of escape stuff working for me? I want to take an exit. I don't want no way of escape. I want an exit. Isn't it supposed to work? Doesn't the word work? Well, yes, beloved, the word does work. Indeed, it works. The word works. Let's go see what Peter has to say. Peter was there that day, you know. We're going to 2 Peter. He was there. He was there the day it happened. He went through this. He understands. So in 2 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 2, Peter says to us, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You see, beloved, we must get to know the Lord. And as we come to know him better, we receive from him everything that we need to live a life that is pleasing to him. His love and power to us give us wealthy blessings that we otherwise would not enjoy. His blessings open to us opportunities that the world cannot receive. In order to receive these blessings, we all need more faith in our Lord. We also must certainly continue to obey him. We must learn through experience to put aside our own wants and ambitions so that we can grow in patience and live godly lives. We must learn to allow the Lord to have his way with us. This is a process. We must learn it. Remember last week we talked about the toddler who has to learn how to get up off his hind parts and push up with his muscles to try to stand before he can gain his balance and begin to walk. It's a process. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes hope. It's a process as we get to know our Lord better. Amen? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, God at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice it says his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. Amen? He's working out his plan in you, not your plan in you. Granted, sometimes we don't like that, but you know, Father knows best. Amen? He really does. In Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the perfect. He died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, completely away from him, hating him, using his name as a cuss word, and doing everything we thought we were big and bad enough to do. That's when he died for us. You know the things you are ashamed to mention to others, and you just would rather not even talk to the Lord about them. Those things. That's when he died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not that we don't deserve the wrath, but he decided to save us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we've been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He got up for us, you know. He got up for us. We had to have a resurrection, or we would have no hope, no faith, no expectation of reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. He had to get up. And we have to get up too. We can't lay in our rut. You know they call a rut a grave with both ends kicked out. We can't lay there and say, I'm just going to stop right here. I'm not doing anything else. We can't do that. We can't say, well, I'm just going to kill myself. Number one, you don't own yourself. You have to steal yourself first, and that's not going to work. We can't quit. We can't just lay there and die. We have to get up. He got up. We have to get up too. No matter where we landed, no matter how horrible the situation may have been and may still be, there's a resurrection for us too. Amen? Amen. Amen. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed and molded into this world, but be ye transformed, changed, metamorphosis, changed, you know, from caterpillar to butterfly. The butterfly doesn't even think about the fact that he used to be a caterpillar. But every caterpillar has this hope. One day, I'll be a butterfly. Well, we've got to have hope too. Why do we need to be changed and transformed? Well, first of all, our minds have to change. That's how the change is working. He's changing our minds. He's renewing our minds. The death in our minds is going out. The life in our mind is coming in through his word, by his spirit. The death goes out, the life comes in. The death goes out, the life comes in. We've got to have a resurrection. Why? So that we can prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect, what is the will of God. We've got to flesh this out and walk it out. Because if we don't, others won't be able to read the living epistle that we are. We're a love letter to other people from God. See, I did it in her. I can do it in you. You used to be a prostitute? Well, now look at Mary Magdalene. She used to be one too. But where did she end up? At the foot of the cross, watching him, at the grave, looking for his body, speaking to him, thinking he was the gardener. You see? We've got to have hope in his word. We've got to have a resurrection. Amen? Amen. This way, we grow to be spiritually strong. We become more fruitful. The Lord is able to use us more and more. So, beloved, how do we come to know the Lord? How is this? We come to know him through his word. We come to know the Lord through his word. That's how we come to know him. Amen. God's scriptures tell us about him. They just don't tell events in history. They tell us all about him. You see, as we read the King James Bible, we get to know the one who wrote these words to us. They were written to us. As we experience daily living, we begin to see these words come off the page and alter situations as we trust our Lord to bring these words to life. Amen?
Amen?
If so, in Romans chapter 10, let's go to the Roman road a moment. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Well, how did those words get out there? People took them. Witnesses took them. Disciples took them. And if we must give people any gift, it must be his words coming out of our hearts. It must be his words coming out of our spirits. As we pray, you know, the word himself has got to talk to you, and you must respond. The word himself, he comes right off the pages. He's got to talk to us. And we have to respond as the conversation continues. He's looking for a response. Not just read, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among me. No, he's looking for a response from us as we read what he's saying to us. As we pray, Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Mm-hmm. We come to the word saying, show me your way, Lord. Teach me where I'm to walk. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Because you're my God. You're the God of my salvation. So I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to teach me. I'm waiting for you to teach me. God the Holy Spirit will guide us to what we need. He promises in John 16:13. He promised this to us in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He promises to show you things to come. He guarantees that he will show you things to come. Mm-hmm. But you have to be expecting it from him. You must give him that faith to show you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes, Lord, so I can see these things that you're trying to explain to me, so I can grow closer to you. And it'll make my way more profitable. I need to draw closer to you. Open my eyes so I can see, so I can see the things that are in your word, that are hidden from spectators, but open to the believer. Open my eyes so I can see. So the Lord says in Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He says, I will put my spirit in you. Lord, I receive your spirit. He says he'll put it in there, and he'll cause us to walk in his word and to keep his judgments, and not just to hear them, but to actually do them. He promises this to us. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 that he wants to reason with us. He wants to reason with us. He wants to talk to us, engage with us, commune with us. He says, even though our sins be redder than the reddest red, they can be white as snow. And you go, Lord, now this is me you're talking to, and you know what I've done. He still says they can be white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I don't care how bad you've been. I can do something about that. I don't care how ugly the situation looks. I don't care what they did to you and how they did it. I can fix it. No matter how horrible and how painful and how disgusting and vile, I can fix it all. I hung on the cross to take all the sins of the world. I took every single one, even Judas betraying me. I took it all. And I took it all so that you could go free from it. And I am the one who can heal it and make it right. I can heal what you've done to others. I can heal what you've done to yourself. There's nothing that you've done so horrible that I can't heal. So, God will talk to us through the words of Scripture and his Spirit within us. You see, these words give us some wonderful blessing. When we believe the words of the Holy Bible, they give us truth. They give us wisdom. They give us insight. They give us favor. They give us peace. They give us joy. They give us knowledge. They give us faith. They give us grace. They give us endurance. They give us strength. They give us power. They give us victory. They give us answers. They give us hope. And so much more. These are not just ordinary words printed on a page. These words give us life. They resurrect us from our grave, and they give us a new walk in Christ. These words brought to us by the Holy Spirit show us the way. Amen? He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you thought you were getting somewhere out in that little group of people you used to hang out with doing the things you thought were, and God's going to accept me like this. He comes to correct you here. He says, I am the way. There is none other. No man can come to the Father but by me. So while they're standing on the street corner with their microphone and they look like they're preaching something and you listen for a couple of minutes and then they get to the part that they tell you about this group that they're in, and before you know they are not in Jesus Christ. Before you give them two more seconds of your precious time, remember that no man cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Amen? In John 17, a page over, he says that he sanctifies us through his truth. His word is truth. He sets us apart from all of those that are still on the broad path. He pulls us over into the narrow path through his truth. His word is the truth that brings us into line with him. Amen? In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he says that the word of his grace is able to build us up. It's able to build us up. You feel broken down? His word will build you up and give you an inheritance among all the other people that are set aside to God. His word does this. It doesn't just lay dormant on a page unless you ignore it. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says to us that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Not just when he's got 3 minutes at the bus stop. Amen? And he tells us that if we would but do this, that we would become like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. Have you ever seen a tree like this? It's planted right close to some water. That thing grows fast, and it's strong, and it's got big branches, and it blooms. And the birds say, here I come, I'm on the way. And they can't wait to get there. And they build their nest there, and they hatch their eggs there, and their young come forth there. And they are grateful to God for the tree that was planted by the water. Well, you see, we need to be like those trees that are planted by water. We need to stretch out our arms to God, and people need to look at us and say, I'm coming over there. They've got something that I need.
Amen.
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 He promises that our leaves won't wither away. He promises that we will prosper. Whatever we're doing in him, we will prosper. So you see, he tells us in 1 Timothy 4 to think, meditate, run it over and over in our minds, give ourselves to his word. Why? So other people can see the light of God coming through us. They can see his light in us. He says to some of us, people like me, that you've known from a child the Holy Scriptures. Some of us had that opportunity. And those scriptures made you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Why? How is that able to happen? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration? No, that doesn't mean he had a good thought and said, okay. No, God breathed. All scripture comes up and out of God breathed, spoken, released, for us to receive. And it's profitable for us to be taught by, for us to get told you were wrong by, for us to receive correction, and for us to get instruction in how to live for God. Why? So that we can become mature and thoroughly furnished to every good work that God calls us to. Every good work that God calls us to. It's important. It's very, very, very important. And so Jesus said that he didn't speak of himself, but the Father told him what he should say. The Father gave him a commandment, what he should say and what he should speak. So Jesus didn't stand there and tell us about all the galaxies that have yet to been discovered. That wasn't what the Father wanted him to talk to us about. He wanted him to talk to us about certain things. And so it's those certain things that you find in Scripture, not necessarily the minute details of every galaxy that is there. You see, everything couldn't be put in the Bible because you got to be able to read this thing. Amen? Amen? If everything were there, we'd spend our whole life reading and never getting to do. So you got what you need. You got what you need to receive and to get up and go and obey. Amen?
Amen?
You got what you need. Because it's the Spirit of God that brings us to life. Our flesh profits absolutely nothing, and it gets us in trouble. Jesus said to us that the words that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. These are not just words on a page. They are spirit, they are life, and they ought to be alive in you.
Amen.
So when you hear him, don't ignore him. You know, when I was learning more about the Lord, I heard somebody say that communicating with God is sometimes like listening to the radio. But you got to have it tuned in on the right frequency. And his frequency is the scripture. When you tune in to the right frequency, you can hear him speak. Amen? As we come to know the Lord better, we grow to love him more, so much so that we want never to disappoint him nor to displease him. No, not ever. It is this deep, strong, gripping, ardent, passionate love for the Lord that will take hold of our lives and keep us in his grace. If we allow, this love will completely consume us. This love will wake us early in the morning to seek his face, not to see what he can give us, but rather to spend time alone with him. This is real love. In fact, he tells us this. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning, and you ought to actually walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
You see, this love turns our lives. This love, this is the love that turns our lives. Let's go to 1 John. John was the disciple that liked hanging out and leaving his head on Jesus' chest. Why? He found that love. And so he says to us, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, burdensome, too much to bear. It's not a pain to love the Lord. It's not a pain to love the Lord. Amen? It's not a pain. No, it's not a pain. It's a pleasure. It's a blessing. It's something the world doesn't know how to do. They're not acquainted with him and his love. So he says to us, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest or disclose myself to him. How do we get to know him? He says it right here. The ones that keep his commandments and love him. He'll love us. The Father will love us. And he'll tell us about himself. He'll reveal himself to us. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He'll obey my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He promises this to us. He does. He promises this love. He says in 1 John chapter 2, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we obey him, that's how we know if we know him. See, there's this check and balance. You don't have to just run around, oh, I know. No. If we keep his commandments, that's how we know that we know him and that we love him. That's it. That's the measuring rod. That's the test. Amen? That's how we know. In case you were wondering, that's how we know. In Psalm 119, verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimony, and I love them exceedingly. It's a love thing. You know, someone said to me once, this is just a bunch of rules, a bunch of do's, and a bunch of don'ts. And I said to that person, no, you don't understand. It's a relationship. It's a love relationship. It's a love relationship. It's not religion. It's a relationship. Amen? So, he says if we keep his commandments, we'll abide in his love. Just as Jesus kept his Father's commandments and abided in his love. This is how we do it. We keep his commandments. That's how we do it. We obey him. That's how we stay in the love of God. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Why? Because we obey him. You see, this is the same love that led Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. This is the same love that led Jesus to the cross and through the resurrection and into the ascension and to come back and talk with the disciples. This is that love. Well, how am I going to obey all these things? It's through the love. It's the love that does it. So, Jesus refused to allow anyone to change the Father's commandment and pattern. He stuck to it, and he expects us to stick to it too. It is the love that gives us hope. It is the love that takes us through the challenges and storms of life. It is the word that tells us all about Jesus. He understood his purpose. He accepted his challenge. He embraced it. He defended it, and he accomplished it. He taught his disciples to believe. He didn't back up. He didn't back down. He kept going. It was because of the love. You know, love can get you to do things that you would not do otherwise. Mm-hmm. I heard that groan. Love can get you to do things that you would not do otherwise. Yes, it is so. It is certainly so. Every parent has known this. Every spouse grows to know it. Every child learns it too. Mm-hmm. It's the love that takes you there. It's the love that keeps you there. It's the love that keeps you from giving up. It's the love.
Amen.
It's not hot words that you say over a dinner table with candlelight. That isn't it. It's not the flowers. It's not the gifts. It's not the wine. It's the love. When times get tough, it's the love that kicks in. So why not walk in this love with the Lord? When it gets tough and it gets hard, and you don't really want to obey, reach for the love. Reach for the love. You can pass it to me. It's the love. In John chapter 4, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 14, Jesus had to go through a tough time. And it says, the master saith, where is the guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he said that they're going to show you this large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us.
Amen. Thank you.
And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in verse 18, as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12, that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And if you have your elements ready, we'll begin. Amen? So I'm going to give you a moment to get your elements ready, because we're going to partake just like they did before they went out to Gethsemane. We're going to partake. We're going to partake. And while you're getting your elements, I'm going to tell you what Moses said. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. All those words. And so Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. And as they did eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. We bless this, Lord. And break it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Partake of the bread. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. Partake of the cup.
Thank you, Lord.
And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. We thank you, Lord. Saints, he is risen. Amen. Just as he said he would. Surely we can allow his words to change us and to make us like as he is. Amen?
Amen.
Surely. And he said to us, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is truth, and he knoweth that he saith is true, that ye might believe. He's done it all so that we would believe, so that we would have hope, so that we would trust, so that we would walk in faith, so that we would receive the promises, so that others could learn, have trust, walk in faith, receive the promises, be blessed, and bring others and others and others, so that the Father's table on that day will be filled. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the benediction. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And the beloved of the Lord said, amen. Amen and amen. Amen.
Praise.
God bless you, saints. Pastor loves you. See you on Wednesday in the air. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.